Okay, we've been going through a very important sugya, which Baruch Hashem found the Olam. Really, we've been doing this our whole lives. We've been learning Torah, and we're coming to the sugya of Emunas Chachamim, really understanding who are the Chachamim that we're confronted with every day. And last week, Baruch Hashem, we were marech in the greatness of Chazal. Until Ravina and Rav Ashi, Ravina and Rav Ashi, Sof HaRa Nitna is the end of the Chasimas HaTalmud. From the time of the Tanoim, until Ravina and Rav Ashi is the Tkufa of the Torah Shebaal Peh that we have access to. And we discussed the Darga of these people. And we mentioned, the Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Amar Rabbi Zera Marava Bar Zimra, Im Rishonim B'nei Malachim Anu B'nei Anoshim. Im Rishonim B'nei Anoshim Anu Ki Chamorim V'lo Ki Chamor Shal Rav Chanina Ben Doisa V'shal Pinchas Ben Yair El Kishar Chamorim. If the Rishonim are like Malachim, so we're like regular people. And if the Rishonim are like regular people, we're like a donkey, and not a Heliga donkey, as we said, not a donkey that has a shaychus with Tanoim and Amorim, but a donkey that's mufka in Gansen. And the only way we can learn Torah is to point out that we have no shaychus. We start a Gemara and we say, I wouldn't say that way. Good. That shows you farshtay that you're trying to hit something that has no shaychus with you. Just like when a donkey tries to understand something of the seichel of a ben adam, he would naturally be at a loss. We have a bracha that we can, even though we're donkeys, we have an opportunity to climb out of that, hold on to the coattails of Chazal, and get out of ourselves. Every sugya should start with us feeling like we don't understand where Chazal are coming from, because their seichel was pure, and ours is filled with pizza and hot dogs and all the things that come with Yerida Sadiris. So the Ershta Aleph, the first thing that we have is we're coming to a people, Chazal, who are connected to Torah, and we are in a different league in Gansen. The Vilna Gaon says on this Gemara a very sharp point. He says, if the Rishonim are like Malachim, if you see that the Rishonim are like Malachim, that Chazal, who you're learning from, are like Malachi HaShem Tzavakos, you have that understanding of reality, then you're Bnei Anashim. It shows you're a human person. You have a proper hashkafa. You see things properly. But if you see them kibnei anashim, if you think that they're people like me and you, he says that way, I say this way. He says, if they're kibnei anashim, if you see the world that way, that's the gemara that's in front of you, then you're like a chamor. And you're not a heliga chamor, you're a chamor, a gezunta chamor that's stuck in the mud. Chamor is the lashon of chomria, somebody who has totally stuck in gashmias. And when a person comes to Chazal, as we were marach last week, a person has to know how different they are than us. And that shows how great you are. If you know how Chazal are distant from you, that actually is a sign of your level of reality. Meaning we'd like to think, oh, I'm so great, it's a sign that I'm great. No, if you know you're tiny, it actually shows how much you understand what's going on. Right? If a person understands that what's in front of them is something that it's a chiddush, they can even make a laning on it and have any understanding, then they understand what the Torah is, what Chazal are. But if they think, yeah, I can do this, it's me and him, and we have all these ideas together, we're one big happy family, it shows how small they are, that they're like a donkey. I was once, we had a vod with Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zilzain Gesund, you should have Refuah Shleima, and it's a very Geshmakavad, exclusive vad on Mishle, discussing all various types of Koichos HaNefesh, how people are and how people think, and Yetzer Hara is very, very interesting vad. And sometimes there are little stragglers who would come in. And it's hard to explain this vad. This vad was a state of pachad. You're sitting in front of Rav Moshe Shapiro, who's a person whose level of understanding of Torah is beyond my comprehension. The more time I have with the man, the more I'm convinced that he's from hundreds of years ago. And sometimes you have stragglers come in and they want to be part of this vod. You see the guy, he looks funny, you know, he's maybe wearing a Hawaiian shirt, not usually, but, you know, definitely looks like he sticks out, and you're like, okay, he's in the shir. And then he raises it, harav, you know, he's got a question. I'm like, everybody in the room's like, oh my God. So, okay, let's play ball. He wants to come. It's not good, by the way, to do this. It's extremely dangerous. One time I asked a question in this VOD, I nearly passed out from pachad. I started blacking out. 2 years ago, I remember asking Akasha, and before Moshe could answer me, the room turned black. I was so scared. So this guy, he asks a question, and then he says, Harav, hatshuva basidur. He says, the answer to your question, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Gaon Olam, it's in the Siddur. Rav Moshe says, ah, the Siddur. Like, you don't tell Rav Moshe about the Siddur. This guy thinks, oh yeah, the Siddur. The whole shiur, Rav Moshe was going, he goes, you want to know about your Siddur? He starts telling him, he goes, in your Siddur, that it says that such a katnus, a person doesn't understand who's in front of them. Rav Moshe knows the Siddur backwards and forwards. He can tell you the gematria of the entire Siddur. He doesn't need you, some Tom, Dick, and Harry, to come and tell him about the Siddur. It was a great show, though. You had to be there. When these things happen, it makes it much more entertaining. But it's a sign of smallness. I could answer this. Yeah, Harav, you know about the Siddur. Yeah, Shkoyach, about the Siddur. But this is the way we are. We have no idea who's in front of us. And now we're coming to the sugya that's more pertinent to us, the sugya of the Rishonim. The Rishonim are our window into Chazal. Rashi, the Rambam, the Bali Tosfos, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Meiri, the Tkufa called the Rishonim. It's very interesting that we have phases in the Torah, different Tkufas. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky brings this Gemara as the Makar, the Gemara that we just had in Rishonim Kimalachim, that there are different Tkufas in Klal Yisrael, there are different phases of history, and you can't ask from one to another. He says that's the idea that an Amora is not allowed to ask on a Tana. Where's the rule? It's very unclear to find an official rule. You know, where's the rules? Why can't it? Maybe you have a very good Amora, you know, asking a question on a Tana. He says the Makar is this Gemara. It's foolish. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, it's not the pshat, there's a rule. It's just ridiculous to ask a question on a Tana. An Amora knows he's in a different generation. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says the definition of a generation in terms of change of time is when they write a sefer to sort of compile the history of that time. For example, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote the Mishnayos, it ended the time of Mishnayos. When Ravina and Ravashi wrote, redacted the Gemara, it ended the time of the Gemara. And he says, every Tkufa in Chazal, even the time of Moshe Rabbeinu ended with writing the Sefer Torah, Yoshua's generation ended with writing Sefer Yoshua, all the Shoftim, all the judges ended with writing Sefer Shoftim, starting with the door of Shmuel Hanavi, who wrote his own Sefer. He says it goes by Sfarim. Fascinating. But we understand that there are different times, and those times are light years ahead of us. If you're in a generation that's lower, so you're just sitting there drinking from them and trying to understand. But to frag them up is an exercise in stupidity, because it means you don't understand who's in front of you. So now we come to the Tkufa of the Rishonim. When did that Tkufa end, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky? When the Beis Yosef, 500 years ago, compiled all of the Rishonim into what's called the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch was written in Svat by Rav Yosef Cairo, and in Poland, Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ramah, they joined. It's a whole story how that happened, how it became one sefer. A beautiful story, not for now. But that was the end of the Rishonim. And after that, now we are just trying to understand what they say. We're trying to understand what these Rishonim say. And of course, even during the generations of the Rishonim, there were people who probably lacked emunas chachanim. Like last week we had, that Rabbi Yochanan gave a shiur, right, about how big the rubies and sapphires are going to be in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And some Talmud was malagleg. He joked around, the Gemara in Bava Basra. And Rabbi Yochanan turned him into a galchel atzamas. He turned him into a pile of bones. It happened in the time of the Rishonim also. L'maisa, the Kava Yasher brings a maisa of the Ramban. The Ramban had a Talmud. The Ramban's Talmud was by the name of Avner. And Avner became an apostate. He was fry. He went off the derech, and he became a real sore thumb for Klal Yisrael, a real thorn in their side. And one time Avner called in the Ramban on Yom Kippur. He called in the Ramban with a real vicious, a real gaiva. And the Ramban said to him, he goes, tell me something. He says, how did you become like this? A Talmud of mine becoming like this, such a terrible mushkas. And he said, Rebbe, you said something ridiculous in Shir. What did the Ramban say? The Ramban said that everything, all of history, is in Parshas Hazinu. Everything is in Parshas Hazinu. I heard this from you, Rebbe. I'm like, this, a quack. Totally nuts. I'm out of here. And then he says, tell me, Rebbe, with the utmost of azus and chutzpah. He goes, where am I? Now I got the Ramban on my turf. Rebbe, where am I in Parshas Hazinu? And as the story goes, the Ramban said, it's Felix Sarah. This was an awesome achievement to find this schnook in a parsha that he should get a covet to be there, but he's got to be there according to the Ramban. Because everybody's in this parsha called Hazinu. Hard to believe. The Ramban said, Atfila Ksara, and he says, you want to know where you are in this parsha? The Pasuk says, Amarti Afeim Ashpisa Me'enosh Zichram. I will wipe you off the face of this planet. And if you take every third letter, Amarti Afeim Afeim, the third letter is Aleph. Ashpisa, the third letter is Beis. Me'enosh, the third letter is Nun. Zichram, your remembrance, the third letter is Resh. He goes, every third letter of this is you. This is you. I will wipe you off the face of this earth. Well, Avner was not happy with this. And Avner saw the Nakuda of Emes, and he took a boat out to sea without oars, just to be lost, to be Mekayim, his destiny, to be wiped off the face of the planet. I mean, folks, it would have been a nicer story if he got it earlier. Well, this is the matzav, this is what it comes to, but if a person wants to see what a Rishon is, they can either have emunah or they can find out the hard way. They can be sent out. But Lamaisa, this is the tkufa called the Rishonim. The tkufa of the Rishonim started a little earlier with a tkufa that was right after the end of the Gemara called the Ge'onim. The Ge'onim were bigger than the Rishonim. In fact, the Meiri says in his Akdama to Avos that the word Ge'on is Gematria Shishim, that they knew everything. They knew all 60 Masechtas entirely. When you were the Gaon, you knew everything. So you'd think we'd have a lot of literature for them, right? Maybe we should be learning Sifrei Gaonim. There's only one problem. I challenge you to find Svarim from the Gaonim. You're going to find the She'iltis, which the Nesiv writes a very lengthy perish on, and you'll be hard-pressed to find much more than that. A few quotes from here, from there. You know why? Says the Meiri on the spot. He says they didn't even write Svarim. They were too big to contain themselves in Svarim. They knew everything. So they couldn't write Svarim. You could write Svarim when you just want to discuss something. But if you know everything, your whole Metzius is one where people just go to you and ask you something, you just tell them the answer and they write it down. But you can't sit there writing Svarim. You know everything. He says the reason the Shiltis wrote his Sefer, you know why he wrote it? Rav Achai Gaon, the Sefer that the Netziv writes pages and pages, volumes, the Netziv. It's because he wanted his son to learn something on Shabbos. So he wrote him a Sefer. It was here. You what our She'iltis is the you know, the reading for the son of Rav Achai Gaon. And the Sefer HaPikadon, which is a Sefer on Choshen Mishpat, was written because a Rav kept asking one of the Gaonim so many questions. He goes, I'll just give you a list of all the things you need to know in Choshen Mishpat. See, you know, I'll save me time. I keep asking me so many questions. They didn't even have Svarim at that time. And then we move into the period of the Rishonim. The Rishonim were so much bigger than the Achronim that we have. The Achronim come to be Masbir, the Rishonim. Rav Shach Zatzal was very fond of quoting the Hakdama to the Shara Melech. The Hakdama to the Shara Melech says over there, there's a Taisvis in Ksubis on Daf Lamed, that the Marshal comes in the back of the Gemara and asks a bomb kasha on Taisvis. Then the Marshal bombs on the Marshal, takes the Marshal out of the water. Then the Pnei Yeshua takes out the Marshal, and now the Marshal's sitting back, and he's there. But the Pnei Yeshua, now we're left hanging, right? Wow, all these big guns, Marshal, Marshal, Pnei Yeshua. But then we still have the Kasha on Tosfos. We're stuck at the end of the day. Says this Hakdama. He says, but now we have the Shita Mekubetzes, which was not in print. The Marshal didn't see it, the Pnei Yeshua didn't see it, and the Marshal didn't see it. And in there is a little Tosfos on Daf Lamed. And the Tosfos starts out like the Tosfos. And it asks the question of the Marshal, frags himself up with the Kasha of the Marshal, goes back to the Pnei Yeshua, and then answers everybody. Sasim Mesimcha. Rav Shach said, can you imagine in one line, Doire Doiris of Achroinim, and one Tosis that we didn't have, dealt with everything. The Tosfos in front of us doesn't have this, so we need the Marshal, who is a Malach Hashem Tzavakos, the Marshal, who is a Malach Hashem Tzavakos, the Bnei Yeshua, and we still don't understand the Tosfos after the Bnei Yeshua. Comes a little sheet of Megubetzes with the Tosfos, boom, in one sentence, does everything, that we need all these giants for generations. That's the Metzius of Rishonim, and the Marshal knew this about Rishonim, the Marshal knew this about Rishonim, and the Bnei Yeshua knew it about Rishonim. How do we understand what a Rishon is? We cannot understand what a Rishon is. But let's try. Hashem gave us a big matana. Hashem gave us a very big matana. This is the words of Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal. Rav Aaron Cutler said, Hashem wanted to show us what a Rishon is. Okay, you think you know what a Rishon is? You've read a Rishon. You want to know what a Rishon is? Hashem sent us a matana not much more than 200 years ago. There was a man in Vilna named the Vilna Gaon. Okay? The Vilna Gaon was, for all intents and purposes, a Rishon. There had not been anybody like him since the Tkufa of the Rishonim. And Rav Aaron Cutler says, why was he brought here? He was brought here to show us what a Rishon looks like. Because you might just think, it's me and Rashi, it's me and the Ramban. And now we can see firsthand, what did the Vilna Gaon look like? And then when you find out what the Vilna Gaon is, you should know that they say about the Vilna Gaon, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he was Ulai Kaharashba. That's a big deal. He was in the Tkufa of the Rishonim. But he was a Rishon, but still, there were bigger Rishonim. And the Gaon, you know what the Gaon was? Let's see. Let's see what the Gaon was. The Gaon, Lemaisa, was a mensch who Rav Chaim Volozhiner had a brother named Rav Zelmela. And Rav Zelmela was somebody that Rav Chaim Volozhiner said that his brother was so giant, he died at a young age. Rachman Litzlan, the loss for Klal Yisrael. He knew so much Torah that he would have been considered a Talmud Chacham in the Dairis of the Amorayim. That's what his brother Rav Chaim Volozhiner said about him. Okay, so there were people who said he's like the Vilna Gaon, like the Rebbe. Ooh, did Rav Chaim Volozhiner get fired up about this? He says, my brother was a Gaon Olam. He says, but he knew the whole Torah like we know Ashrei. He knew the whole thing, you know, millions of times around the world, if you want to keep writing the Torah. That's how he knew it. Just like we know Ashrei, we can just keep going and going the whole time, no problem. He says, there's only one problem, though. Let's say you're starting with the pasuk Somech Hashem L'chol Anoflim, right? And you want to know what's right before that. So you have to go through, the way our minds work, you can't do that. You have to tell some. He could start from the beginning of Ashrei and keep going. But to ask him to go backwards through the whole thing, that's too hard. Because you have to do the whole Ashrei and then keep going backwards. He says, that was my brother, but the Gaon could do the entire Kol HaTorah Kula backwards. Backwards? The entire Kol HaTorah Kula, which means if the Gaon would speak for a million years backwards. A million years backwards. He would go through the entire Torah like that. What's even the pshat in that thing? You know what I think the pshat is? Even though I can't say a pshat in the Vilna Gaon. But I could try to say something. Rav Zelmela knew Torah. He knew Torah. The Gaon was Torah. It's not a trick that he saw it backwards. He was pashut the metzias of Torah. He was the embodiment of Torah in Olam Hazeh. He didn't know Torah. It was nichtav aluach liboy. He was the metzias of Torah be'atzmuso. The Gaon had magidim. We have a very rare thing. There are a lot of books, you know, are written by interesting people, biographies, and they're written at later times. We have something called the Safar Ditznius. The Gaon was the biggest makubal around. And we have a biography from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, his Talmud Mavak, who was the Gadol Hadar, and he writes things in this, it's a must read, okay? These are eyewitness reports for the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon told him, he says, Pamim Rabo, so many times, Hishkimu l'piskol kama megidim in Hashamayim b'shelasim makashim shirotim limsor l'razim d'raisa. Malachim would bang down his door and say, we must tell you secrets of the Torah. So I would say, Shalom Aleichem, come in. You know, a Malach, a big covered. The Gaon said he wouldn't even look at them. Lo hibid al mareo agadol. He covered his face. Va'ona va'amarlo. Eini roitze shetia hasagasi b'toris yisbarach shemo al yidei shumem soy. I don't want a single Rebbe of a Malach. I'm just straight with Hashem yisbarach shemo. I learn with the Eibishter. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't need you. I don't want you. Get out of here. And he says that Rav Zelmela, like that we talked about before, was getting magidim. And the Gaon sent him a messenger, don't listen to them, go this way. says, since the Beis Yosef, there, you can't trust anything except for the Amelus B'Torah, you go this hard way, this long way. What? This Metzias was less, this was 200 years ago, Rabbi Yisai. There was a mensch like this. Somebody said they finished Masechus Sukkah. You do not tell the Vilna Gaon you finished Masechus Sukkah. Okay? Do not try this at home, Rabbi Yisai. He did. He said he finished the Masechus Sukkah. So you know what the Gaon said to him? He goes, how many Kasher Sukkahs are there and how many Pasul Sukkahs? Not just in the Gemara, in the Tosefta, and in any Medrash Chazal, in anywhere you could find. Whoa, okay, that's a lot of counting to do, and you probably have to figure out a lot of things. The Gaon said, you know how many there are? There are 91 kosher sukkahs, gematria sukkah with a vav. And there are 85 with 85 pasul ones, gematria sukkah without a vav. When the sukkah is chaser, so then it's pasul, without the vav, it's missing. What in the world? If you lived, I guarantee you, if you lived for a million years, if I would live for a million years, I would never know Masechus Sukkah like this. To the point where the word sukkah is the whole thing. I would never know it. I would never come to such a hakara. Have no shaychus to such a thing. And after all that, ulai kaharashba, it gives you an idea what the Rishonim are. And that's what Rav Aaron Cutler was saying. The Gaon was brought to us to see this awesome Mara. So let's talk a little bit about Rashi. Let's move to Rashi. Rashi, the Gaon said about Rashi. Okay, the Gaon. He said, Rashi sat Shiva Nikiyim, making a reference to a woman who waits on a drop of blood 7 days. He says he sat 7 days, seven Nikiyim, seven clean days, on one drop of ink. Means every drop of ink of Rashi is as if somebody, a drop of ink, was as if there were 7 days of thought going into a drop of ink. The Meiri writes in his Akdama that a person who knows how to read a Rashi sees that all the Rishonim's kashas fall away from a nuance in how Rashi said something. So we understand what Rashi is? We think, you know, Rashi wrote a parish on Chumash, you know. You see, he picked Midrashim. He picked Midrashim, I would pick a different Midrash, you know what? Okay, nice, he picked this Midrash or what? Oh, there he goes with TikTok again. Okay, whatever. Let's see what Rashi was on Chumash. Let me ask you a question. I'm a small person. If someone would ask me what the bigger achievement was, Rashi on Shas or Rashi on Chumash, to be frank with you, I would have thought Rashi on Shas was a bigger achievement. You guys could disagree with me. But if you disagree with me, you're in good company. Because Rabbeinu Tam, the Chidah says in Shem Gedolim that Rabbeinu Tam said that he could write Rashi on Shas. He could do it. He says he could not fathom writing Rashi on the Chumash. So Rabbeinu Tam obviously had a different Rashi than we did. And maybe Rabbeinu Tam knew the story of Rashi on Chumash. Rashi fasted 613 Tanesim before he wrote Rashi on Chumash. Until the point that Moshe Rabbeinu was revealed to him, the Masorah tells us. The Shem Gedolim of the Chidah brings us down. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ashrecha, fortunate are you, Rashi, for what you're about to write. And the entire Sefer of Rashi on Chumash can be read al pi Kabbalah. If you know how to do it, we don't know how. I've heard from my Rabbeim different ways of starting this process. But every single Rashi can be understood al pi Kabbalah. In Yechezkel, Rashi lets it out, he tells us. Because Rashi gets stuck. He goes, you're probably going to wonder how I knew all this. Rashi writes in Yechezkel Mem Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Ani lo hayali, talking about the vision of Yechezkel. Ani lo hayali lo rav, I didn't have a Rebbe in this. Velo oizer, nobody helped me in this vision of Yechezkel. Bechol habinyan azeh, this whole construction that I made, Ela kemoshe haruni mishamayim. It's a Rashi. Rashi says, only what Hashem showed me from the heavens. Rashi was written Beruach HaKodesh, every line, when you're sitting on a Gemara, you're crazy if you're not Medayik in a Rashi. Not you're just lazy, you're nuts. You think Rashi would write anything that every single drop, says the Vilna Gaon. Somebody asked a question that I would throw someone out of shir for asking, because it sounds like a foolish question. But they asked it to the Vilna Gaon. They asked the Vilna Gaon the following bizarre question about Rashi. It says on the middle letter of the Torah, which is the word Gachon. Rashi over there by Gachon, which means the stomach or whatever, the stomach or the intestines. Rashi over there is metargim the pasuk gachon to be meyay, which is the stomach. So this smart guy asked the Vilna Gaon the following question, which I would say you need to be institutionalized to ask such a question, but it's a good thing I wasn't there. He says that Rashi, by Al-Gachon Chatelech, Rashi, in the beginning of Bereishis, when we talk about the snake that had a stomach, Rashi doesn't say anything on that word Gachon. Rashi, Dafka over here, he mentions what the perish of Gachon is stomach, and he uses the Aramaic, which is Mayai. Why didn't Rashi use the Hebrew version, Beten? Rashi doesn't have to speak Aramaic. So I would just be like, find other questions to ask. Like, what are you doing? The Goyim said, Mikan Royim Shehashchina Shruya al Beis Medrash Shel Rashi. From here we see that the divine presence laid on Rashi's Beis Medrash. What in the world? He said, because we find that the Torah has a chasima of emes. Emes is truth. The word Bereishis Bara Elokim, the last letters of the word Bereishis Bara Elokim, are emes, the word emes, which is truth. The beginning of the alphabet, the aleph base, is aleph. The last letter is tough. And the middle letter is mem. There's always a stamp of truth to the Torah. And he says, Rashi has the same thing over here. The first letter of Perish Rashi on the Torah is Amar Reb Yitzchak, Aleph. The last letter of Perish Rashi is Yashar Koyach Sheshibarta, Shkoyach for breaking the Luas, tough. And in the middle letter of the Torah, Rashi is Mefaresh, the word Gachon, with a word that starts with a Mem, Mayai, making a Chasima of Emes on his Perish. So, it's beautiful, wow. Aleph, tough, Mem. I have one very annoying question, which is, why does that show that the Shechina was Shriya on Beis Medrash of Rashi? It just shows how clever Rashi was. Rashi started with an Aleph, he ended with a Tav, and in the middle he got a Mem, and he took the Gaon to cop that. Oh, I got you, Rashi. Rashi didn't do this! The Gaon is saying that Rashi didn't even intend on doing this. It was written by Ruach HaKodesh, so what came out was a Chasim of Emes. If you would interview Rashi, Ken Zion, he would not even know that there was a Chasim of Emes on this Farish. Because it was Lamala. It was Bechefza Emes. And the Stipler does something that would seem to me to be a terrible waste of time, which is to compute, in Birchas Peretz, he computes the Dibra Maskels of Rashi in the Torah, and how they equal the same gematria as the things that Rashi said. Today I had to take out my calculator. I have a masorah from my rabbeim. If I'm going to say something barabim, I have to take out my calculator and figure these things out to make sure what I'm saying. So I'll tell you one. In Parshas Vayera, it says, Tachas ha'etz vayochlu, that the malachim ate food, right? They didn't eat food, but Rashi says over there, Mikan shelo yishana adam min haminag. You can't stay away, not follow the minag of the makom if they eat down here on planet Earth. So then you have to eat, even if you're a malach. You can't change the minag of the makom. The gematria of Tachas ha'etz vayochlu, which is what Rashi's being masbir, is the same thing. Mikan shelo yishana adam min haminag. You can take out your calculators. It's very nice, beautiful. Why would the Stipler do this? I would say it's like that's like random. The Stipler understood it was Rashi. You think Rashi sat with the calculator? Rashi wrote Emes. Rashi didn't care about gematrias. If someone would tell him these gematrias equal each other, Rashi would be like, I have better things to do right now. This is not what I'm doing now. And Rashi ala Torah, Rav Yerucham says, Rashi's a raya that Torah is min hashamayim. How is Rashi a raya the Torah's min hashamayim? If you take any student, right, and you want to get them to advance, you have to change textbooks. You have to. It's just simple. You have to do that. There are only two times where you don't have to change textbooks. One is the Torah itself, right? Every little yingle, when they're learning the Torah, starts out and can actually say a Dvar Torah at the table from the sefer of the Torah. And there's one other sefer. When it comes to math, when you stop arithmetic, you go to algebra, you go to calculus, you go to, you know, physics, quantum physics, all these things. A kid can't read the textbook. He can't read the same textbook. Never in the history of the world has there been a textbook that was made for a 5-year-old child and also for a 90-year-old goyin olam. It's never been done. Check it. Google it. I challenge you. It's never been done. The only sefer that has done this is a sefer that the Beis Medrash was the Shechina was Shruya Aleha. Rashi, Ad Ein Shir. Every kid can read the Rashi. I'm learning Rashi with my son, and sometimes I'm trying to teach him, and at the same time I'm going, wow, I never realized that. And he's like, what's wrong? Nothing. Yeah, trying to keep the two generations going. Like, that's amazing. Rashi did that. Do you understand? The pshat is that's the metzias. That's the metzias of Torah. Any Tinoch Shel Beis Rabban. So we have a lot more to discuss. I didn't even realize. But we'll continue, Bezus Hashem, to understand the greatness of those that we learn every day. Don't we have this by